A number of historical buildings and sites throughout the state have a new distinction. Late last month, the Wisconsin Historical Society announced a handful of new additions to the state Register of Historic Places.
The new entries include a school in Madison, a neighborhood of historic homes in Manitowoc, a church and monastery in Green Bay, and more.
Jim Drager is an architectural historian and the state historic preservation officer at the Wisconsin Historical Society. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, let's talk about what gets a building or a neighborhood in some cases on this register. It isn't just purely being old, right?
Right. This is meant to recognize properties that have made an important contribution to Wisconsin history. So they have to be not only historic, but there has to be something truly important or distinctive about them in some way.
And it seems like in a lot of cases, looking through the list, these are, you know, they're physical buildings, yes, but they're also physical representations of either an idea or a cultural development or a piece of our state's history.
Absolutely. That's at the core of it, is it's meant to these buildings, sites, objects reflect who we are and what we believe and what we value.
And what does it mean when a building is put on this historic register? What does it mean for how that building's preserved and maintained, for example?
Well, it means that it's being recognized by the state as being something that's truly important. It's really up to the people who own the properties to determine what their fate is. It doesn't, the register does not require them to preserve their buildings, but oftentimes they list them because they think they're important, and that's their end goal, is to ensure that those buildings survive and continue.
And there's a state and a national register. Is there crossover between the two often?
Yeah, very much so. The state register was created by the Wisconsin legislature in 1989 to parallel the National Register Program, which was created in 1966. So with a handful of exceptions, the two lists contain the same properties.
Now let's start checking out some of the entries here. And as I mentioned, it isn't always just an individual building. Sometimes that might be a community or a neighborhood. Let's start with one in Manitowoc, the Lincoln Boulevard Historic District. Tell us about this collection of homes and what it tells us about the state.
Yeah, okay. The Lincoln Boulevard District is... represents a particular era of city planning in the 19-teens and 20s, where boulevards became a way to accommodate the growth of the automobile, but also from a real estate speculation aspect, was a way to draw people to larger developments. You build this grand boulevard, put expensive houses, expensive lots, and then that draws people to the larger neighborhood that surrounds it. So, and they end up being a really neat collection of buildings.
Right. I think this is the one. I don't have all the info in front of me. This is the one that had a lot of different styles of building. It isn't all the same along the boulevard.
Yeah. I call that the March of Styles. You know, because it shows you the evolution of architectural tastes over time.
And then one in Madison, and this is a part of the state's progressive history in some way, an educational history, the Madison Vocational School, which is not that thing anymore. Tell us about that building.
Right. Well, that 10 years before the building was built in 1921, Wisconsin became the first state in the country to establish a system for vocational, technical, and adult training. The idea was they recognized that a lot of people hadn't graduated from high school, and in order to build up the workforce for these new modern jobs that are growing out of the early 20th century, they had to provide training for people who are older, that were returning students or adults. It's the same thing that we talk about endlessly today.
I was going to say, this sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yes. And so they built the Madison Vocational School to provide basically workplace training, continuing education, skill training, business school, that sort of thing. And that became the Madison College as we know it today.
And part of the state's technical college system, ultimately,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's go. We're not going to get to everything on the list.
Oh, you
and you've got some past contributions that you want to talk about, too. Let's jump to Green Bay and the St. Mary of the Angels Church and Monastery there.
Yeah.
This had a story about how it came into being, I think, in the first place.
Yeah, I think it's Green Bay is a city of churches, for one thing. It has spectacular church architecture, and this is one of the most spectacular of all. It was built in 1903, and it's a cut stone church, so it's very grand and very expensive church for its time. And it was built for a Polish congregation, and you know, part of the early 20th century history is of churches is that churches were dominated by particular immigrant groups. And they all wanted to have their own place of worship. So the Poles wanted a church because they didn't want to keep attending church at the German church. They wanted their own place.
And so there's a long fundraising effort, which is a pretty common story with churches like this, right?
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things that's unusual about it is it was not only a church but a monastery. And the monastery is physically attached to the church, which is a really unusual feature. And then in the 1960s, the church was remodeled as part of the Vatican II changes to the Catholic liturgy as well. So it also tells that story, too.
Talking to Jim Drager from the Wisconsin Historical Society about some of the new entries into the state's Registry of Historic Places, a lot of buildings, some communities. The Milwaukee Athletic Club is on that list in Two Rivers. There's the Bernard and Fern Schwartz House. There are others, but you pointed out a couple of other recent additions. One of them, Muirdale Tuberculosis Sanitarium in Wauwatosa.
Yeah.
Tell us about, this was big. A lot of states and areas had their own TB sanitarium back in the day.
Yes, it was a series. There was a series of tuberculosis sanitariums throughout the state of Wisconsin. You know, tuberculosis, we think about today as just something that occasionally happens, but by the beginning of the 19th century, they estimate that one out of every seven people in the world died from tuberculosis. So it was epidemic, and it was so dangerous because it was so casually spread. You could cough, and someone could get the tuberculosis bacterium, or you could spit on the sidewalk and it's carried in the dust. So before antibiotics, the only real treatment was to find people, diagnose them, and isolate them from the general population so tuberculosis wouldn't spread. So these sanitariums were built as a place to treat people, but also to treat them in a place that got them out of the city where they couldn't spread it to other people.
Now, that is the kind of story that takes us back home to maybe the value of this kind of recognition of a historic site, that these are, I think, for me and for a lot of people, forgotten stories about where this state came from. Most of these entries, right, are going to have some kind of story like that behind them.
Yeah, very much so. I think it is a way to uncover stories of Wisconsin's past, and I think that's part of what motivates people to nominate these. And to me, one of the most interesting things about the properties is that we don't seek out the buildings to be nominated. It's very rare that we say, hey, that building ought to be on the state register. It's people in those communities. It's the people that own them or people who live in those communities that believe those are important to them.
Now, you know a fair piece about Wisconsin history.
Sure.
Part of the job.
Right.
Do you, as people are nominating these, do you get surprised by the stories you find?
Yes. Yes. I've been doing this for 31 years, and I realized pretty early on that I would continue to be surprised throughout my entire career.
Now, what other kind of sites in recent years have struck you, either on this new list or in the recent years past? You had a bunch of fun ones.
Well, we have the largest number of shipwrecks listed in the United States, and there's some really unusual and interesting ones. The senator was carrying a load of Kissel and Nash cars across Lake Michigan when it sunk. The state of Wisconsin owns the largest collection of Kissel cars in the United States
because it's underwater.
It's underwater.
Okay.
In Lake Michigan.
So some of our historic sites are actually shipwrecks.
Yes. Archaeological sites of all sorts, locomotives, water towers, lighthouses. There's just a huge diversity of things.
Now, can we build, I know we probably, these are privately owned, we can't go into all these, but can we build a little tourism, a sightseeing around this? Do people do this, look for these historic sites?
Oh, absolutely they do. Yeah, yeah. People, you can find the listings on the Wisconsin Historical Society website, wisconsinhistory.org. And so you can search for whatever you're interested in as a topic and find buildings that are related to them. You know, we only ask, don't trespass on
private
property.
Now, we've been doing this for decades now. About how many sites are on the list now?
It's about 3,000 roughly listings on the National Register. That comprises about 30,000 building sites, structures, and objects, because some of them are in historic districts.
Well, Jim, thanks for sharing these sites and their stories with us today.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
That's Jim Drager, architectural historian and the State Historic Preservation Officer at the Wisconsin Historical Society. He joined us today to talk about some of the latest additions to the State Register of Historic Places.